Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. I am thrilled to have the opportunity to lead this chat. Ordinarily, during Women's History Month, we focus on women who've paved the way in the past. And today we have the distinct pleasure of talking with a woman who is paving the way right this minute and in charge of one of St. Petersburg's most iconic historic establishments. So Vanessa Williams, as I'm sure you all know, is the general manager of the Vinoy Resort and Golf Club, an autograph collection hotel, a position she's held since early 2022. Now, our guest was born and raised in a small town in South Africa. And from those humble beginnings, she's built a remarkable career that has taken her around the world, living and working in major cities across continents, leading teams, opening hotels, and shaping guest experiences on a global scale. And along the way, she's been recognized for her impact and leadership, including being named Los Angeles Women of the Year, and most recently, Tampa Bay Business Journal Woman of the Year. So, yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
So today we're going to explore her leadership journey, how she balances it all, and what it means to lead with purpose in a global, fast-paced industry. So, Vanessa, I'd love to start by asking you, what's been the most transformative moment of your career so far?
You know, one thing that I, and welcome everyone, it's lovely to have you all here. I was honored when JC had called me and asked if I would share a little bit about me, and I'm honored to be in front of all of you. It feels like extended family. I think I say this a lot because everyone in this room is somehow intertwined with what I do every day, and I find being at the Vinoy, it gives me the opportunity to really get to be with the community. I was walking outside the front of the hotel the other day doing landscaping because, you know, hoteliering is a whole lot of things. And an elderly lady with her dog walked by and she stopped to speak to me. And we finally exchanged names with each other. And I told her that I was the general manager at the Vinoy. And she stopped for a second. And I said, you know, you should come in someday and we can have a cup of tea together. And she said, you would do that? And I was like, yeah, I will. I said, that's the highlight of what I do in hospitality. And so it's just awesome to have you all here. To answer your question, I don't know that I ever thought I would have been able to do what I've done in my career. I don't know that I thought I'd ever live in 10 countries and open 10 hotels and do some amazing renovations around the world. You know, the young girl from Benoni, same town that Charlize Theron is from. I'm a little bit older than her, though. I went home for my 40th high school reunion, and I haven't seen any of the woman that I went to school with. And the moment they saw me, they said, "We always knew you would leave." And I looked at them because I never, ever thought I would leave, you know. And then you have an opportunity to grow in my career. And I think just knowing that I've been able to live and work around the world has given me insight that I cannot tell you how transformative that has been and who's made me who I am today.
I love that. And so that takes me to the part that brought you here, because you have an incredibly impressive resume of well-known five-star hotels. Most recently, before you were snatched up to come here, you were in Beverly Hills, right? So all of these wonderful places. And along comes St. Petersburg. And so in an interview that you did with The Catalyst, I believe, in December of 2022, you said, there's a spirit in the resort, and it's very palatable. And you talked about falling in love with the resort and then falling in love with the city. And you said, people are genuinely very passionate about this city and its culture. The relevance of the Vinoy is very important to the local community. And I feel indebted to ensure this resort continues to become that anchor in a way that ties everything back to the history of St. Pete in a renewed way. So I would love for you to tell us a little bit about how you felt about coming to the Vinoy and about the historic significance that may be a little different than opening a brand new resort.
Yeah. I have said many times that falling in love with the Vinoy was instantaneous. It was a construction site when I arrived and walked through the back door because you couldn't get into the hotel. There was nothing out front. And stood in the lobby, and it was just a moment in time. I didn't know what I was taking on. Maybe if I dug a little deeper, I would have thought twice, but not at all. It was instantaneous, and then it was late at night, and opened the drapes in the morning and looked out over the bay, and I walked over to the corner of the bed, and I called Eric, my husband, and I said, well, I fell in love with the Vinoy last night, and I fell in love with St. Pete this morning. I said, I guess we're moving to St. Petersburg, which he is very accustomed to my behavior and my decision-making from a career perspective. I come home, and I go, how does Hong Kong sound? And, you know, he, like, looks at me. He did a few years ago write down a list of very exotic places. On the top of the list was India and then Cambodia. And I thought he was planning a vacation, you know. And I said, what is this? And he said, no, that's the list that you need to carry with you. Just know we are never moving to any of these countries. So now I know where I can and cannot work, but to answer your question, I don't know that I have, and I have worked in some incredible hotels and built some incredible hotels. I renovated the flagship hotel for Mandarin Oriental in Hong Kong. Reminds me very much of the journey that I've been on at the Vinoy. But I don't know that I have ever felt that the work that I do at the Vinoy is so meaningful. And it's not the bricks and mortar. It's everything that comes with it. You know, my staff who just, they love the hotel, they're loyal to the hotel. It hasn't been easy. You know, we brought Forbes in and we've been trying to get, we're going to get rated this year. And luxury is not easy, you know. And so you've got an existing legacy team that really, really want this. But getting there is a journey. Brian and Shauna Glazier, this is not an investment for them. This is a legacy. They pour everything that they have into me and into the resort. And with that said, everything I do has so much more meaning. It's a meaningful. I get up in the morning. And I know what I need to do, and it's for my team, but it's also for our city, and it's for the community, and it's just meaningful. I would not need to go anywhere else, because I just feel that it just keeps giving, and it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful.
Excellent. I think many of us in this room feel that way about this community, but it can also be all-consuming, not just the job that you have, but your community involvement that is personally fulfilling but also part of the professional view. And so that brings up the time-old question of work-life balance. And so I'm curious how you have learned, and Eric, I might speak to you later about this, to balance such a demanding global career with personal well-being.
I'm a lot better at it than I was when I was younger. You know, as a young professional, you throw yourself into everything, and there was very little balance, and, you know, you turn around, and the next thing, all you have is a career, and you have neglected everything else, you know, and I made a decision, and this was prior to Eric and I meeting 28 years ago, that I would never do that again, that if I ever was lucky enough to find a partner, I was going to balance my life, and it's not easy. But I also was lucky enough to find a partner, and I tell young women all the time, don't settle. Find someone that is going to enhance what it is that you do. I've been dragging this poor man around the world for 25 years, willingly. I know that. But you got, you know, and I tell young people as well, you've got to be healthy at home. You got to look at your mental health. You need to take time out when time out needs to be taken, because then you can be healthy at work, right? If you don't find that balance, it's hard to be great at both, right? I don't just want to be known as the general manager of the Vinoy. I want to be, you know, a supportive wife. I've got two sons that I don't get to see. They live in South Africa. But, you know, I want to be, the other piece of me needs to be whole as well. And I think you just, you know, as I've gotten older, I know when to step back, and I know when to say, I just need time out, and do it that way.
I think those are things that we can all aspire to. But it also makes me think about the fact that not only do you have a responsibility to yourself, to the Vinoy, to your family, but you have also taken very seriously having a role in fostering the next generation of hospitality staff, particularly women in a rather male-dominated industry. And so I'm curious if you would share with us just a little bit about how you approach mentoring that kind of crosses over into bringing on staff and training staff.
You know, I would say that hospitality is not predominantly a male-driven industry in the trenches. Mm. We run the business in the trenches, right? But there's certain positions in hospitality that, unfortunately, are still predominantly male-dominated. And it's hard. You get to, you know, I spent 25 years as director of sales and marketing, which was a perfect role for a woman, right? I made as much money as most general managers made, so it was never this burning desire that I have to be a GM. You know, it was never high on my list of things. But you then start to look around, and I remember when I became general manager at the Waldorf Astoria in Beverly Hills, the impact that it had on my female staff that were in the trenches, it was all of a sudden, we can do this. There is an opportunity, right? And so I love the fact that I can inspire not just the females on my team, but hospitality is not an easy career. We don't have career hoteliers like I am. And so it really is taking somebody and helping them to be passionate about service, whether it's, and you see my staff today, whether it's, they know that I drink sparkling water, all of a sudden the sparkling water's there. It's got to be like that for every single guest, right? And that's what we strive to do. But, I'm proud that I have an executive committee that is predominantly female, and I promise you I didn't do it on purpose. It just so happened that these were the most qualified people to do the jobs that I was hiring for. I think it's important to have balance in any work environment. I don't think all women is a great thing. I don't think all men is a great thing. I just think it's bringing a team together that work well together that makes the difference.
I love that, and I think that you've articulated that in a number of interviews that you've done. I had quite a bit of fun doing some research, and I took particular note in 2023, you were recognized by one of the leading industry organizations as one of the top 25 extraordinary minds. I love that. And they asked you what advice you would give to your younger self. And she said, be prepared for career challenges, especially in environments that might not readily accept a strong, determined woman with high expectations. Build resilience, know the landscape you're entering, and set realistic expectations. Keep learning and growing, staying true to your ambitions despite any obstacles you encounter. And so that leads into my question to you about building a personal brand that is grounded in those kind of personal principles. Tell us how you feel about that.
I have a reputation that I'm tough to work for. I hear, and I've heard for the last 40 years, your expectations are too high. I've had my bosses say to me, you know, you sweat the small stuff. You've got to stop sweating the small stuff. But like moving the chair, I sat there and I was, you can't be in luxury hospitality if you're not going to sweat the small stuff, right? Because that's what people see. That's what people want to experience. When I ask somebody to pay $1,000 a night to stay at the Vinoy, their expectation is that they're going to get the highest level of service. So my personal brand, I would like to say that I've had many, many, many people that have worked with me and for me that have probably not loved working for me because I have a really good memory. And if I report that something is broken, I will go back to make sure that it's fixed, right? So I think that can be frustrating, but it's who I am. And I've had so many people that have grown and become general managers that worked for me who still to this day will call me or email me and say, you were not fun, but I learned everything that I needed based on how you drove us to be what we are. But I'm a real softie. And I think that's an important piece of it, too. I love my team. I spend a lot of time with everyone on my team. Right, Stammen? There we go. I find that having them see some vulnerability in me. I'm human. I'm a mom. I've got personal issues in my life, and sometimes you've got to show that to earn that respect. You know, I don't have it all. I don't have all the answers. I don't have it all buttoned up, and I think that just makes for a culture, and to build a culture where I'm part of the team. I don't sit in a corner office all day and say do this and do that. I'm out there, you know, and I would never change that.
And that leads perfectly into kind of a follow-up question about what does inclusive leadership mean to you, and how do you practice it, particularly across cultures, in your journey thus far?
So every country is a little bit different. You know, when I was in Beijing, China, the owners of the Waldorf Astoria in Beijing were the Chinese government. They didn't want to have a female executive team, and we ultimately ended up with 6 females on the executive committee. So it wasn't pretty. They all spoke perfect Oxford English, but we had to work with a translator because they refused to speak English, right? And so when you go through understanding that each culture is going to be bringing something a little differently, it helps you to navigate through how to manage and how to give back to it, right? I often say that Florida is a culture in and itself. St. Petersburg certainly
is. I was going to go there.
and I tell people all the time, I'm not trying to turn the Vinoy into the Waldorf Astoria Beverly Hills. I'm not trying to bring Beverly Hills to St. Pete, right? But we got to elevate a little bit, right? Just a little bit. Let's just try a little harder. But I've got a team that's given absolutely everything to make the Vinoy what it is today. And accept people, meet people where they are, right? I can't expect, you know, Thai service. I was in Bangkok. You know, you don't need to teach Thais anything about service, right? Servitude just oozes out of them. And that's fabulous, but they're probably not as commercially savvy as they need to be. So that's the flip side of it, right? Is understanding the culture and then really tweaking and honing into what's needed wherever you are in the world.
And one more question related to staff interaction and leadership and whatnot. As we are in Women's History Month, you've told us that you are proud to have a largely female executive team, but it's by merit, not by artificial design. And so I'm curious to know, what does advocating for women's empowerment look like in your day-to-day leadership?
Quite honestly, as women, we don't do a good job of promoting ourselves. Our young people need to think bigger. We clip our own wings. You know, we're like, oh, no, I don't think I can do that. Yeah, actually, you can, and you need to, right? It might be scary. And so with my team, with my female team in particular, don't be afraid to make decisions. Do it while you're young, so that by the time you get to a certain point, you've experienced and you know what you want and what you don't want, right? But I spend, you know, I meet with my hourly team members around a table. I think that's an important thing that I would like to say, is that you've got to give people at whatever, in whatever position they hold, you've got to give them a seat at the table, you know? And so when I sit down... When I sit with my team and I do this every single month, I pull one employee from every single department, and we don't have managers there, and we don't have leaders hanging around, and it's become this, oh, I'm the person that's going to go this month, and we talk, and you know, they share things with me that I would never know if I didn't have them at that table, you know? And it's small things that can make such a huge difference in their lives. I'll give a quick story. I had this lovely young girl, housekeeping lady, who was an American, which is quite unusual because most of our housekeeping staff are foreign. But she sat and she looked at me and she said, I know this is so small and it probably isn't important to you, she said, but do you think maybe we, next time we buy vacuum cleaners, we can buy lighter vacuum cleaners? And I looked at her, she said, these vacuum cleaners are like 50 pounds. So I said, you know, let me look into it. So fast forward, that afternoon, I called the executive housekeeper and I said, can you bring a vacuum cleaner into my office, please? Because I wanted to. And it was this huge, big monstrosity of an industrial thing that... So I then went out and we purchased Dysons for every single housekeeper, and it clips on their cart. And then I was the hero. I didn't want to be the hero. And I said to the executive housekeeper, these are the things that you need to be talking with your team about. And so I tell the story because every step of the way, it's not big things. It really is sweating the small stuff, I guess.
I think you're absolutely right. And by the way, I noticed the chair as well, okay, sitting from from my spot. One of the things that many people in the audience may not realize is that my first job out of college was helping to reopen the Vinoy in 1992. I went to work in a hard hat, and there was no furniture in the office. So it has a special place in my heart, and I learned that hospitality connection. But I want to go back to something that you said just a few minutes ago, in that you're not trying to bring Beverly Hills to the Vinoy. You're not trying to make the Vinoy the Beverly Hills Waldorf Astoria. I'm certain that you have heard over and over again, don't Fort Lauderdale our St. Pete. Mm-hmm. And so that is a really delicate balance. And in January 2024, in an interview, a Q&A with the Downtown Partnership, you mentioned that the recent renovations reflect a rebirth of our resort, which has been a luxury hospitality icon for nearly 100 years. And this year is it, isn't it?
It is.
It's 100. The sensitive restoration of our public spaces and full renovation of our guest rooms appeal to the demands of our guests by offering the elegance and charm that the Vinoy has always been known for with a mixture of elevated modern amenities. And so I'm curious your thoughts on, gosh, I remember in 1992, people said, you're going to do what with how much money and make this hotel that nobody's going to come here. So I'm curious about your thoughts about how the Vinoy and the history and the legacy and the essence of St. Petersburg kind of go hand in hand with a new traveler that we didn't have for decades and decades.
Yeah. Is Jason? Where's Jason?
Mm-hmm, he's here.
Why can't I see? He left. I've worked very, very. Let me put it this way: the Vinoy is iconic in its own right. But I work in a destination, and the destination is St. Pete, and I have worked, not unlike many, many other people. I didn't know the Vinoy before I got called, and then I looked it up, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's lovely. I didn't know St. Petersburg. And so I've worked diligently for 3 years to bring the people that are going to book luxury travel to the destination. In January, we were fortunate enough to bring 350 luxury travel agency owners from around the world, predominantly the U.S., to St. Petersburg. 95% of them had never been here. They'd flown in and out of Tampa, right? So I worked very closely with actually the entire community, and it became our mission to showcase St. Pete in its true form, right? Because that's what makes it so special. That's what makes it so unique. And so I was so just this year alone to have all of a sudden all of these travel agencies recommending St. Petersburg, recommending our restaurants, recommending the Vinoy is the mission, right? I've said it a lot to St. Pete visitors. Bureau. We need to think bigger. I know that we want to keep this a fantastic gem, and I think we will all do that because we're all so passionate about that. But the world is a big place, and I think it's a treasure that we need to share. And so I'm proud to be part and parcel of the destination.
Excellent. And I know that you are almost ready to unveil the new fine dining restaurant. And for those of you, I've heard you say this before, for those of you that expect it to be just like Marchand's, it is not. But I remember in those early construction days, watching those artists painstakingly recreate the stencil work at the ceilings and the stencil work on the Pecky Cypress beams. And I know you've mentioned that you have done quite a bit to try to retain some of the historic pieces. Are there any teasers that you can give us today?
No. Yeah. The opening of Elliot Astor is the final piece of our historic restoration, and I'm so excited that in May we will open the doors to the local community. I'm a little bit nervous because, I go places and people say, please don't change anything about Marchand, and I'm like,
That ship has sailed.
It sailed a long time ago. But, not unlike the rest of our historic building restoration, we didn't want to lose the essence of what the Vinoy is. And we got the restaurant completely built out, and we had it all secured. And all of a sudden, I get a call from a gentleman who had actually done the stenciling. And I thought, oh, now what? And he said, I managed to break into the restaurant. He said, I found, because obviously he'd been around the Vinoy in the early days, and he said, I managed to get in there because I had to see what you were doing, right? And he said, I am the original artist that painted the upper area of the restaurant. And I thought he was, and I like held my breath because I'm like, what? We flew four Italian artists in to actually restore all of the work that he did. He said, I couldn't have done it any better. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. The space is beautiful, but it's an elevated dining experience. I hate the word fine dining because that's not what we're trying to do, but it's definitely something that I think will enhance what we offer to our guests, our community, and we're super excited.
Excellent. I'll remember that, right? Because she'll remember that she told me elevated and not fine, and so I better live that. Now, JC, we have a few minutes for questions and answers, don't we? I'll give you my microphone. Does anybody have a burning question to ask Vanessa? Oh, her husband is stepping right up.
Hold on a second. First, I want to thank Tammy for carrying this conversation on today. Give her a hand. Secondly, the young tigers from Bogus Egg can ask a question, and members of the club can ask a question. If you want to join the club, it's tigerbay.org. Most of you are guests. We're glad that you're here, but tigerbay.org is how you can join the club. We look forward to having you. So we're going to take a few questions from members in good standing and from the young tigers. I have a question. I'm going to take the privilege of asking Ms. Williams to. I also want to make clear that Eric and Vanessa are both members of the club. They joined the club, and the Vinoy and their staff do great things for us, so thank you for that. Okay, my first question from me, because I have two, is can you, since I know this story, can you share something about your Beverly Hills experience in the rap hip-hop industry that our guests are not aware of?
Oh, dear. I opened my first hotel in Beverly Hills, and it was owned by the Japanese, and it was a Japanese-style hotel, and it was in the early 90s when there was a lot of anti-Japanese sentiment in the country. And so it was, you know, it was a tough market. We got the hotel on the map, and I didn't realize all of a sudden the music industry just swarmed into the hotel, and I knew we had a lot of music. I didn't know how much, and then the Soul Train Music Awards were coming to town, and we sold out, and I walked down into the lobby, and there had to be 600 rappers and entourage in my lobby. It was, you know, and it was at a time when LA was, you know, and it was like, we're not calling the police. This is just, this can't happen. And I remember my boss on the Monday morning saying, what are we going to do? You know, this can't happen. And I realized that at the Soul Train Music Awards, in a lot of award ceremonies in LA, they hired security that was appropriate for the crowd. And so I ended up hiring the Nation of Islam to do security every year after that when we had the Soul Train Music Awards. And it was flawless, you know? We didn't need to be the bad cop. And then when I changed hotels a few years later, they followed me. The rappers just followed me.
First of all, you should have told a story about Suge Knight, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So, oh, hi, yeah, I'm Eric Williams. I'm Vanessa's husband. nice to meet you all. And I don't have a question, but I thought about something that happened in Hong Kong that's kind of appropriate for Women's History Month and for, you know, empowerment, leadership, and things like that. So you may recall, June 4th of 2004, we landed in Hong Kong. And then after the weekend, on your first day of work, you got a tap on the shoulder about the way you dressed. Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, I'll tell it. I was wearing a business suit, and I walked into the meeting room, and somebody said to me, oh, women have to wear dresses. You can't wear a pantsuit. And I kind of looked around, and I, you know, the whole room just froze because, you know, no one had been bold enough to walk into a meeting room with a pantsuit on. And I went down to my boss's office, and I said, I have no problem wearing dresses. I said, but you're going to have to buy a whole new wardrobe for me because I predominantly own pantsuits. And he looked at me, and he said, don't worry about it. 2 days later, there was a memo that went out that said, effective immediately, women are now allowed to wear pantsuits. And the whole hotel knew it was me because I was the one running around in a pantsuit. But, you know, this was 2004. It's a long time ago now. But, it was just so bizarre that that was a requirement, you know. It, just amazing to me. Yeah, good one.
Hello, my name is Giovanni D'Amico. I'm a student representative from Boca Ciega High School. I have one question. In your experience, as a young lady who wants to get into business, in your experience, how is it best to make connections in the business world?
Yeah, this is a perfect environment. You know, lean into opportunities. I do lots of mentorship talks at the Vinoy for young people that are interested in, and not even in hospitality, just a career, right? And you need to lean into those opportunities, and there are a lot of them in St. Pete. I'll get your details, and I'll invite you, and you can bring some of your friends as well. But I think it's important that you make connections. It's the only way to do it. I don't know. I'm not a huge networker. I hate idle chatter. small talk is not my thing. But there are opportunities that you can make meaningful connections, and we're in a town where that is absolutely possible.
Hi, my name is Nina Rodriguez. I'm also a student representative from Boca Ciega. When you were in high school, was being a businesswoman like your original plan, or did you have other plans that just didn't fall through?
Let's remember, I grew up in an apartheid South Africa, right, with a super strict conservative father who, you know, his main thing was you need to learn how to type, you need to learn how to do bookkeeping, and you need to learn how to take shorthand because that means you will always have a job, right? So I never ever had these visions of, you know, I'm going to be running a hotel or I'm going to be running a company. I just didn't. But I have to tell you, those skills were amazing. You know, I still type faster than anybody else in the hotel only because I learned to type. But, you know, what I will say to you is, and I said it earlier, you got to stretch your imagination. You got to push yourself. We tend to stay in our box, and we hope that things are going to work out. It doesn't work like that, right? You got to be conscious about the decisions you make in your career. Make the right choices. I've never worked in a hotel that I have, number one, not loved. So that makes my job just fun, right? But any career path you take, make sure you make smart choices, yeah?
Okay, last question.
Jim Gillespie, would you describe the worst situation you've ever confronted with a dissatisfied customer in a hotel, anytime, any place, and how you resolved it or did not resolve it?
Mm-hmm. No, it's a really good question. I was thinking this morning, you know, no day in my life is the same. You know, beautiful hotel, but I've got staff, I've got guests, and people misbehave, and, you know, there's just a lot. There's just a lot going on all the time. I don't hide from dealing with a guest that may not have had the experience that they wanted, or if we as a hotel drop the ball, I'm the first one to go, hey, you know. And I go out of my way to meet with guests face-to-face. I'm a strong believer that if you've got someone in your hotel and they're having an issue, if they've had an issue, don't let them leave with that issue. Make sure you resolve it before they walk out the door. Because once they walk, they either have a negative feeling or they're going to write a review, and then you're going to be dealing with the back end of that. So I tend to cut through a lot of noise and deal with the issue at hand. I remember a good story in St. Pete. I got a call from, he lives in the neighborhood, and he called me to tell me that our cookies at Lottie were too expensive and that I needed to revisit what I was doing, right? And I knew on the phone I was not going to appease him by saying, all right, I'll have a look at the price of the cookies. So I said to him, I would love to meet you in person. Why don't you come in and we can have a cookie and a coffee together and we can talk about the state of the cookie prices, right? And he took me up on the offer, and he came in, and I had a box of cookies made for him, and I had adjusted the pricing. I had my team go out and shop around to see what cookie prices were, and yeah, we were a dollar or so overpriced, and him and I today are the best of friends, right? And that was taking the time to deal with the issue. We hide behind email. It drives me crazy. Get out there, you know, pick up a phone, invite someone over, go and have a coffee. I think that's the best. My advice is that's how you tackle, and I've had many tackle issues. Yeah.
So as we wrap up, I have just a couple of final thoughts. I'm thinking of all the times that that I have been with you in the resort and all of the interactions that you've had with your staff that clearly demonstrate the fact that what she's saying is true, the one-on-one, the caring, the listening, and that's so very important for any of us in anything that we do. And as I mentioned earlier, she is being recognized currently as a 2025 Businesswoman of the Year by the Tampa Bay Business Journal. The Vinoy, her hotel, posted this on Instagram, and I think that it's a fine thought to leave us with. As we celebrate Women's History Month, the Vinoy is proud to recognize Vanessa Williams, whose leadership and vision continue to uphold the legacy of our iconic resort. Her dedication to excellence in hospitality has elevated our guest experiences while preserving the history of the Vinoy. We extend our deepest gratitude to Vanessa for her unwavering commitment, inspiring leadership, and for shaping the future of the Vinoy with her unwavering passion. And so on behalf of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club, if I may take that privilege, we echo those sentiments and express our gratitude to you, Vanessa, for championing the continued legacy and the future of our beloved Vinoy.
Thank you. Thank you so much.